The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, so this could probably be titled Wandering in the Desert According to Rocky Balboa. So it'll make some sense in a second. So either you've seen the Rocky movies or you'll end up seeing them after this. That's what happens every time I mention a movie at a homily, right? And so one of the things I have noticed more with movies that are considered to be good or somewhat profound in a certain respect is this. Often in the very beginning of the movies and in the end of the movies, there's something that I had missed. You know, the movie starts, the credits are going or something like that, and you're not always attentive to what it was. But Father Brent and I, one of our favorite movies was like the whole Rocky series, especially the original. And you know, do you know what you see in the very opening scene of the original Rocky? First thing you see, Jesus's face. That's the very first scene of the movie. They're in a rec center, boxing, a Catholic rec center boxing, and the camera angle goes straight to the wall where there is an icon of Jesus holding a chalice and the host in the Eucharist. And that's the very first scene. And then it just slowly camera angles down and you see Rocky having his first fight right there in that particular scene. And one of the things that's so unique about that movie is that it's very obviously a story of redemption. You know, you look at the character of Rocky, and the whole beginning of the movie is to really show you how miserable his life really is, right? You know, he's kind of a washed-up fighter, you know, and he gets kicked out of his locker. He loses his locker spot in the gym to a newer, younger fighter who's doing better than him. He smokes cigarettes. His job is basically an enforcer for a loan shark. So he goes to guys when they haven't paid their loan, and he tries to make them pay the loan, right? You know, and so that's his whole job. So, and he lives in a terrible, really gross apartment with a turtle, right? You know, that's his life. It's kind of painted as a little bit of a depressing existence in many ways. But part of his journey is the thing that's so absolutely amazing. And so Jesus goes on a journey in the desert, and the thing that's so unique about this is he makes himself vulnerable. And what you'll see is, in that vulnerability, Satan tries to fill that vulnerable gap at every single opportunity he gets in that particular moment. But that same vulnerability that Satan attacks is the same vulnerability that the Lord will fill in your life. So that's the scary part. During this time of Lent, we willingly give up things in our life. We willingly suffer and make sacrifices so that God can fill the gap. But you better believe that Satan is going to try to get there first. He's going to make every effort to do so. One of the things that's so amazing in the Rocky movie, and this is one that Father Brent and I have brought up in multiple homilies before. And so he said to me one time, I remember he sent me a message, and I think I was still in Rome. He said, do you think it's appropriate to quote Rocky in a wedding homily? And I was like, oh, well, what's the quote? And I'll tell you if I think it's appropriate. So, and this is the quote that he mentioned. I was like, oh, definitely, is what I said. So you see another vulnerable character in that movie, right? Adrian, his future wife. So they're two vulnerable people, and then they meet one another, and then they start to get along with each other because they sort of fulfill a need each other has in life for love. You know, they fill this goodness that they're both searching for in their life. But we all know Paulie, Adrian's brother and Rocky's friend, he's like a little rough around the edges, to say the very least, right? And so, like, he does not get their relationship at all. In fact, it actually frustrates him quite a bit. He's like, what do you see in my sister? You know, he like doesn't get it at all. And Rocky very eloquently says, he's just like, I don't know, you know, I got gaps, she's got gaps. I don't know, together we fill gaps. And that's what he says. He goes, gaps, what's gaps? You know, he still doesn't get what he says. But that's a very profound thing. Every one of us has essentially what is a Jesus-shaped gap. But not everybody tries to fill it with Jesus, right? They go far and wide in the world and try to fill it with sometimes almost everything but Jesus. But that's what they're looking for. They just don't know it. They don't realize it. So we have a gap in our life. And if Jesus does not fill the gap, Satan will try. And he will try to mask it as all kinds of other things. You know, it can be success in our life. It can be addictions in our life. It can be money. It can be whatever you could possibly think that is a material and earthly reality. Satan will mask it as that and try to fill that into your life, telling you, oh, this is the answer instead of Jesus. But during this time of Lent, what we do is, like I said, we willingly give up. We willingly sacrifice so that we can get to him, so that we can allow ourselves to be filled up by him. And one of the things that you'll notice in the movie is what is necessary for Rocky to actually be redeemed in that movie. First is this, an absolute free will gift that he does not deserve at all, which is exactly what we hear about in the second reading from St. Paul today. Faith is a gift freely given by God. Not one of us deserves it or merits it at all. It is freely given. And with any gift, you can either accept it or reject it. So what does that look like in Rocky's life? A shot at the title. He does not deserve that shot at all. It accidentally sort of falls in his lap in the movie. What ends up happening, right? Apollo Creed wants to make a big spectacle, this big fight. And so he's looking at the list of fighters, and he simply sees the name Italian Stallion. And he was like, now that's a name, right? And he's thinking it from a marketing perspective. And he was just like, Apollo Creed versus the Italian Stallion. It sounds like a monster movie. That's what he says. That's his description. So Rocky doesn't deserve that shot at all. In fact, he's like one of the least likely characters for it. So he's graced with something that he doesn't deserve, but he gets the opportunity. But what does he do to try to be successful at the opportunity? He sacrifices a lot. In fact, all of the things that we probably love about that movie the most are all of the sacrifices that he makes, right? When he makes that decision to try to do this, to try to be in the fight, what is he doing? He's drinking the raw eggs. He's getting up like in the middle of winter at dark in Philadelphia to go on these long, long runs. He stops smoking cigarettes. All of the negative habits that he had, he starts pushing them aside. He starts making sacrifices to be successful. Now, nobody ever knows when I'm going to bring them up in a homily, which is, I think, some of the joy of me doing it. And so I think Catherine is thinking I'm going to say her, but it's not. You're safe this time, Catherine, I promise. But, but Francisco and his brother Lucas, who serve at the 1230 often, Francisco just got back from the state championship in wrestling, where he placed sixth in the state. And often we talk, because we're both like athletes, right? So we love the athletic life. So we're talking about our training and all these different things all the time. And that's a hard sport. Like, to make weight classes and things like that, you've got to give up. You're like, oh, probably not going to eat dessert tonight. You know, and so you got to make a lot of sacrifices to do these different things. But it all comes down to what Rocky says to Adrian really at the end. It's not that he wants to win. All he desires, he says, I just want to show people that I can go the distance. That's all he desires, is to step in the ring and to be worthy of being there. For all the detractors, all the people that underestimated him, for him to show that he can go the distance. When we look at the very last line in our gospel, it says, when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. So we realize, even through that whole journey, even through that difficulty, he only departs from Jesus for a time. We know that in a few weeks, we'll celebrate the Lord's Passion, where Satan comes back in full force. And we know in the Rocky series, there's not just a first Rocky, right? There's a Rocky 2, a Rocky 3, a Rocky 4, a Rocky 5, a Rocky Balboa, and then some Creed movies after that, right? So the journey continues, and Satan comes back to try to attack you in different and new ways. But our greatest desire in our Christian life is simply to just go the distance. We want to be able to go to the distance, because if we can take the gift of faith that we've been given and go the distance, that's the land of the saved. That's the land of the resurrected. So all during this time of Lent, that's what we wait for. We willingly give up things, we sacrifice, we suffer, so that we can actually gain strength. We empty ourselves out so that we can be filled up. Every single Mass that we come here to be filled up with the Eucharist, the Jesus-shaped gap gets filled in our life. And that is the very thing that actually gives us the energy, the strength to go the distance. But if we never give up anything, if we never let certain things that we're attached to go, there's no way that that gap will be open. We don't leave ourselves vulnerable enough for the gap to be filled. And there's a risk there, right? Yeah, the risk is we open ourselves up and Satan is going to try to attack us. But Jesus is stronger than the devil in every way. I was just reading in a book that I've been reading, you know, it's just like, Jesus' love for us far exceeds Satan's hatred for us. And that's the thing that we have to remember. If we earnestly let Jesus in, if we offer up sacrifices in our life to grow closer to him, you trust that he will push the devil out of the way and that you make room for him in your heart. But it does take vulnerability. It does take suffering. It does take sacrifice. Those things are like fuel for Christ. Many of the rest of the world runs away from suffering and pain for their whole entire life. But it's actually through suffering and pain that we were actually redeemed. Through the blood of Christ, through his passion, is how he redeems every single one of us, past, present, and future. So during this Lent, empty yourself out so that you can be filled up and you can go the distance. God bless you all.